Blog Talk Radio.
You are beautiful. Lord, you are beautiful. Good evening, good afternoon to each and every one of you. This is I, your host, Evangelist Von Dumas. And it is once again time for us to join together, open our hearts and our minds as we hear and enjoy and embrace the Word of God. We invite you to call someone, invite someone to call in on the show. The number is 646-652-4916. God bless you. We love you. We will be opening up the chat lines. I give you a moment. Get your pen, get your paper, and most important, get your word. I'll be right back. Brothers and sisters, again, this is Evangelist Von Dumas, and you can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. You can also leave a message here on the Blog Talk Radio, and we are ready to dive into the Word. Let's see what God has planned for us tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare our minds. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for just coming and being a part of our meeting tonight, dear Father. We ask blessings over this ministry, over all the ministries that are represented here tonight, dear Father. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your divine intervention into our spirits, to connect with our spirits, to give us growth, Give us strength, dear Father, to remove the negativity out of our minds, dear Father. Dear Father, to place your Holy Ghost inside of us that lead us and guide us and protect us, dear Father, on our way. Dear Father, we invite you to come be a part of us. Come live inside of us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In your powerful name, may I decrease, and we invite you, dear Father, to take presence and the first stance in our life right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen, amen. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, all right. We are starting our scripture tonight in the book of Revelations. We're going to Revelations 22. We're doing Revelations 22. And we're going to do chapter verses 12 and verses 13, 12, 13, and 14. Again, it's Revelations 22, chapter 22, verse 12, 13, and 14. Let's read the word of the Lord, shall we? You ready to read? Let's read.
Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they might have the right to the tree of life, and many go through the gates into the city.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then verse 15 reads, but outside are dogs and scourgers and sexual immorality and murderers and idolatry and whoever loves and practices a lie. 16 said, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. 17 says, and the Spirit, and the bride says, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life. Whoever desires, let him take the waters of life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your scripture. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. And tonight, we're just talking about God's commandments. Are you prepared to live your life following God's commandments? Some may say, I'm not for sure of the commandments. I'm not for sure if I'm in the right, if I'm in the wrong. Says my people perish from lack of knowledge. So we want to go over the commandments. We also want to make sure that you're understanding that if you're living by the commandments, you're living by love. I see you're in the chat room. God bless you. Feel free to call in. The call-in number again is 646-652-4916. Understandable, and that's fine if you don't want to call in. Exactly. Enjoy what you do in the chat room. I do thank you. God bless you. All right. So keeping his commandments is keeping God's love, is walking in God's love. So we're starting with the commandments. And Sister Tatiana is here tonight joining with us. Praise the Lord. And I thank you for just being obedient and being here in the Word tonight. And before we get started, can you just say hello to everyone? And we'll go ahead and get started.
Hello, everybody. I'm going to say the Ten Commandments. Number one is, don't put no other gods before him.
Okay. So, and what's something that we can continue to tell ourselves, to remind ourselves of that commandment?
I put God first in my life.
Let's just say that again together. I put God first in my life. It's so important that this is just not a ritual, but this is something that we have to get in our spirit, because there are so many things that we can choose out in the world is flashing and getting our attention, and before we know it, we have another God that we're serving. It can be that brand new car that you just got. That could be your God. You said, how can that be possible? It's just as simple as every day. You don't want to leave it? You dread that you have to go in your house and leave your car. You sit out there as long as you can. You look in out the window at the car once you're inside of the house. You're polishing it, you're shining it, and you're keeping it clean. That's a beautiful thing. However, you don't take it anywhere. You don't allow anyone to ride in it. So you can't pick up the sick and take them to the doctors. You can't pick up the ones without transportation and take them to groceries. You can't go take to anyone else to church. You by yourself probably don't even get to go because now, you know, it's a car show or something else. Or, you know, you got to do something else. That can be your God. Your job can be your God. I can't go to church because I have to go to work. And I understand that it is times that you have to work. But it's some opportunities that you should be able to get. If you're choosing to always be there at work instead of going and fellowshipping, then that too can be your God. So again, sister, we have to continue to say, remind ourselves that we should have put no other person or thing before God. And what was that phrase again we're going to repeat?
I put God first in my life.
Hallelujah. It's easy to get other people in our lives. We pray for spouses or for friendships, and God put those relationships together, and then we forget about that he should be first, the head. We just read that he said he is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. And he's not going to allow, he's not going to stand for us to put him anywhere else but where he belongs, at the beginning, at the top. So when your life is not working out for you because you got him somewhere else, he said, I must be at the beginning. I'm the creator, and I refuse to go anywhere else. He can't go anywhere else. Hallelujah. Let's move to the second one, sister.
No idols.
Hallelujah. What's your verse under that one?
No prophet or thing is more important to me than God.
No person or thing is going to be more important to me than God. We're speaking of the Ten Commandments. No idols. You know, some people can worship just a picture. They get pictures and they say, well, you know, I think this is a picture of what Jesus looks like. And they hang the picture somewhere and they pray to that picture. And they get so caught up in that picture that they forget about God is spirit. And he wants to connect to your spirit. Or you walk in different places and they got the big Buddhas. Or they got the cat sitting up there. And they can't do anything without touching the cat every morning, rubbing Buddha's belly. Idols. Idols. And we read all through the New Testament, the Old Testament, excuse me, there were many times before they pick up their tent and would move to another city, it took them forever to just get down all of these idols that they had collected, to get all the idols together. But God said in the second commandment,
no idols.
No idols. No idols. So I invite you to repeat after me by reminding ourselves to say, I will do what?
I will praise no other idols.
I will praise no other idols.
No thing is more important than God.
No thing nor person will be more important than God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Do not take God's name in vain.
Do not take God's name in vain.
God isn't an empty watchman. I use his name only in a loving way. I count on him to help me every day.
Oh, my goodness. And that is so good, sisters and brothers. We have to stop and realize right now, the word God is not just an empty word. Oh, it's so full. It's full of your healing. The name of God is so full of glory. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. It's full of all the things that you have. When we call on God, his attention comes directly to us. He wants to know, what is it, my child, that is your desire? What is your need? The name of God is holy. We need to get holiness down in our spirit. So we can ask him to reveal to us what holiness truly is. Because if we can get our minds wrapped around the fact that he's holy, we will not be as quick just to say different things that we do. We swear in the name of God. We just nonchalantly, every little thing. You got to be in reverence. We got to reverence the Lord. He's holy. He's holy. Say that again for me.
God is the empty law too. I see his name only in a loving way, and I count him to help me every day.
Right. It's not an empty word. I say his name in a loving way because he's a loving God, and I count on this loving God to help me in every way, every day. He's a loving God. I use his name in a loving way. Again, all of the commandments touch each other. It's almost like it's a completeness. They touch each other. No other God besides he. No other God besides he. You're not going to have any idols. You're not going to use his name in vain. They're all coming together. These are teaching you to love, to be in love, to behold him, because he's coming quickly. That was our scripture, right? He's coming quickly. And again, it said in the scripture that when he come, my reward is with me. So your reward, Tatiana, my reward is with him when he's coming. He's bringing the rewards according to, he's going to give it out according to the works that I've done. The life that I've lived, that's the rewards I get. It's according to what you've done. That means what you've said, the actions that you've done. Your reward he's bringing with him. And he said, I'm coming quickly. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's keep it going, sister.
Number four is, keep the Sabbath holy.
Hallelujah. Keep the Sabbath holy. Now, I know that there is a lot of controversy about when we should fellowship together as far as the day that we should set aside and the seven-day Adventist say it's on Saturday and Protestants say it's on Sunday. We have to believe, though, that God is more important than just finding and arguing and bickering about which day. We're wasting time that we could be fellowshipping and praising together. And so instead of bickering over the day, let's pick a day and do it. Let's pick a day and be in praise and keep it holy. Keep it holy. You know, we were speaking about last night that on the Sabbath day, I want to keep it holy. I want to not decide that, oh, that's just the day that I'm just going to get up and go wash my car. That's just the day that I clean my house. Or that's just the day that I wash all of the laundry. I want to keep it holy. Now, if someone needed to go to the laundry, I'm not going to say, you know, I'm not going to take them there. I can't take you over here to visit with your loved one today because of that. Because God heals on the holy. That is holiness. So some people take it too far and say, well, I can't, you know, like they told Jesus, I dare you heal on the Sabbath. I dare that you go over there and give this man sight. Don't you know this is the Sabbath? How else? That is keeping the Sabbath. That's the most holiest way of keeping the Sabbath. By being in fellowship, helping your sisters and helping your brothers. But what we're actually speaking of, our not to do, it should not be the day that you just decide that this is the day that I'm just going to do all of the other things. This is the day I'm recuperating from partying so much on Saturday. I just lay in and recuperate on Sundays. I get up and I go wash my car on Sundays. That's just my routine. And I'm giving nothing back to the Lord. I'm taking no time out of my week to set aside to just be in fellowship with God and God's people, to learn more from God and see how I can help God's people. We need to keep the day holy. Why? Because this is what he's asked of us. So read that one again and give our speaking with that one.
Keep the Sabbath holy. Each week has a special day set aside just for worshiping and praising God, for reading his word, and for getting together with all other believers.
Hallelujah. Just reading the word and getting together with other believers. You know, we get so caught up and busy throughout our day. We need that time that we need to get together as believers. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Number five is honor my father and mother.
Honor our father and mother. I'm going to let you take this one. What are some of the ways we can honor our fathers and mothers?
Be truthful.
Be truthful.
And show respect for my parents by listening to them and trying to please them.
Amen. By showing respect, by listening to them. They've been where you've been, and that's the big thing about it. Your mother has been 13 before. She's been 14, and you have not yet. So it's something about 13 and 14 that she can tell you. As you look down at some of the younger ones, Janelle, she's 3. You've been 3. When she's 5 and starting pre-K or something, you could tell her a little bit of something about pre-K, right? You know, because you've been there. So we need to learn to listen more. And some of our key words that we're speaking of tonight is just that, just listening. If we are listening, we'll show love, respect. We got to live what we are learning from the ones that we're learning from. What we're learning, we need to start to live it. So love, listen, live, learn, and that is your life. Carry it with you through life. These are our basic instructions before leaving Earth. The Ten Commandments of love. Hallelujah. So again, sister, you said that we're going to do it by loving, listening, showing respect, and wanting to be pleasing in the eyes of our parents. Now, we spoke on the side of that briefly as far as teenagers and youth. But let's flip and look on the other side. That is just as important for me to be the same thing with my parents, with my mother. How many elderly people do you see that's out here being disrespected, being forgot about, just been pushed aside, just laid over somewhere in a nursing home, and no one, and they stood up and they fought for us, and they paved their way. They paved the way for us to get where we are today, and how many times do we disrespect our parents? I have someone that works with me and is disrespectful. I hear her say things, and she's almost 60, and she talks about, you know, and I went to my mother's today, and I told her, Mom, you don't understand. You're not doing this right. I dare you. You know, I dare you. You need to respect your mother. You should still want to be pleasing in your mother's eyes. Even when they're elderly, and you may have to take back over some of the decision control, you still do it with respect. You still do it with love. There is still something that you can learn from that person. That's why they're still in your life. It's just not by happenstance, but you still have those people in your life. Sisters and brothers, please hear me. You still need to listen and learn something from our elderly. You never get too old that you know it all. You always need to be learning. And if you're disrespecting, you're not learning. If you're closed-minded, you're not listening. It needs to be with love. Learn to listen. Live what you learn. And take it with you throughout life.
Number 6 is, do not murder.
Do not murder. Do not murder. You know, you can be defending your own life and you end up taking someone else's life, but it's not murder. When you go into someone's home and you murder them, God said, do not murder. Because you're not taking the value of life. You're not appreciating life. You can't give life. You can't give life. But you walk into a store and you just abruptly, you demand something, they give it to you, and whether they give it to you or not, and you just take life. You get upset about something, and you can't talk it over. You feel like you're still going to lose the argument. So you just pull out a gun or a weapon, and you just take life. No more than you would think about to breathe or anything. You just take life. God said that that's against his commandments. It's against his commandments. And what is the verse that we need to remember? What is it that we're going to remember to get ourselves in mindset of the preciousness of life?
I know life is precious. I take a stand against everything that haunts the life or well-being of others.
One more time. It says, I know that life is precious. This is things that we have to repeat and tell ourselves, our spirit, tell our flesh, our minds. Now, before we upset and out of control, I know that life is precious.
I take stand against everything that haunts the life or well-being of others.
And I take a stand against anything that hurts the life and the well-being of others. Somebody's got to stand up and be the one that says, I'm not going to stand here and watch you bash this person or just bully this person, just take their life or force them to take their life. I disagree with it. It's not right, and I'm not standing for it. Hallelujah.
Number 7 is, do not commit adultery.
Do not commit adultery. Do not commit adultery. You know, God says that when he joins you together, you become two, becomes one. You know, we see it in our weddings, and we may see the groom has his candle, and it's just a plain, ordinary candle. And we see the bride, and she holding her candle, and it's just a plain, ordinary candle. And they're both may or may not be lit. If they are lit, and then you see there was one beautiful, gorgeous, big candle that is not lit. And together, the groom and the bride, they take together, and together they light a big candle that is just not a plain candle. It's two spirits into one that makes something beautiful. And so then they blow out their candles because they don't need individual candles anymore because the two has now become one. Some services, it is a little different. You'll see that it's just the opposite. They have the big, glorious, beautiful, decorated candle, and it's lit. And then the groom and the bride may take theirs, and they will go into that, and they'll hold it down over the big ones, and they will get their energy, their fire from that one. And then they'll set theirs aside, and together they pick up the big one. The thing is, it's symbolizing that the two are now becoming one. They're coming joint together. They're going to multiply. What they're going to produce throughout there is going to be together in their finances, in their decision-making. And God has given a special gift to carry with them, his uniqueness, his Holy Spirit, his covenant, as they have just made vows before him. He's given them the sacredity of sex for them. And when we try to decide somewhere through there that because the good times don't seem good anymore, I am choosing now to go find somebody else. I'm gonna start another affair with someone else. That is adultery. And the person that they are messing with is fornicating. That is adultery, what God has put together. Let no other man put asunder. Because when you go and you take what the gift that God has given to you and your spouse, and you share it with somebody else, you break the marital vows, you break your covenant that you've stood before God and your family and your friends, and you've made these vows. How quick are we just to turn around and decide that this is not going to work. I want something else. I want something else. And then we're not even going to speak about the different time and a different subject, to just speak about how others are just trying to steal the precious gift. And they said, I don't need a covenant. I don't need to be married to take the gift. Why should married couples only have the gift? I want to play with the gift. I want to use the gift. And you never can get satisfied with it. On and on and on. Adulteriness. Been an adulterer.
I feel respect for the opposite sex by keeping my thoughts and actions pure. And by remembering believe that sex is God's gift to married couples.
Hallelujah. Keeping your thoughts, keeping your mind clear. He said, keep your mind set on him. So if you're in a married relationship or whether you're not, you still must keep your thoughts clear. He said, how am I going to keep my thoughts clear? Well, he tells us, by keeping our mind set on him. He said, but in the midst of all of this, when you find your mind roaming, how do you get your mind back set on him? When you think about the goodness of what God has done for you, think about it in your heart, something that God has brought you through, something that God, you know that you could have been dead right now, but it was God. You know you could have been behind prison bars right now, but it was God. You know that child could have suffered from the decisions that you made, but it was God. Those are the things that should bring you back around each and every time, should bring you back around. When you look and you can see that your mother is still alive, you see your father still healthy and going strong. When you look around and you see that you still have a husband, you still have a wife there to help you raise the kids. When you see that you've raised your kids successfully and they're all prosperous and filled with the Holy Spirit, those things should bring you back around. You see, it just happened. It just not happened because you should be able to be brought back around because keeping your mind stayed on the Lord. That's how you get it done.
Number 8 is do not steal.
Do not steal. It can be little bitty things. We can steal somebody's joy. We can steal somebody's peace. We can steal someone's spouse. We can go in and we can steal from somebody who's earned and bought everything in a grocery store. Somebody purchased that stuff to be sitting on those shelves. And when you go in there and just take it, and you said, oh, they can just buy more. Remember, they paid for that. And the Bible says, do not steal. You said, but they got 100 cattle on the hill. What is it going to hurt them if I steal one? The Bible says, do not steal. Hallelujah. If you want it, you get in prayer. You start working your way and find out, how do I get this? To be successful, how do I get to where I need to be? Start working your way there and keep on praying as you go. He will give it unto you. You don't have to steal from anybody, from anything. Joy, you said, why are they always so joyful? Why are they always, this early in the morning, be so happy? If you're looking for happiness, it's there for you too. You don't try to steal theirs. Don't try to tear them down because they have it. Thou shalt not steal. Don't break up someone else's marriage because you're jealous because of what they have. Thou shalt not steal. Don't break up that happy family because you think that they're, in your eyes, goody two-shoes. And you just want to see them knock down a peg or two. Thou shalt not steal. Don't steal the joy out of that family. Don't steal that happiness.
I refuse to take or keep for my own. I use what doesn't belong to me. Borrow clothing or money, tests or homework, information, whatever.
Whatever it is. I refuse to take what's not mine. I refuse to say, oh, I'm just borrowing it without asking permission. That's stealing. I don't care if it's clothing. I don't care if it's homework. Whatever it might be, thou shalt not steal. Let's talk about clothing. Yes, go ahead. Let's go to number 9.
Do not give false testimony.
Do not give false testimony. How many times do people just stop and they just say, you know what, because I have a problem with you now, I want everybody else to just think negatively about you, so I'm just going to try to criticize your name. I'm just going to try to ruin your reputation.
I know a person's reputation is valuable. And I refuse to lie or gossip about anyone.
Amen. What a good thing to look and tell yourself in the mirror every day. I know that a person's reputation is valuable. I'm going to value everyone's reputation. And what was the last part of it?
Of gossip about anyone.
I refuse to gossip or lie about anyone at any time, for any reason, anywhere. because I know my reputation is important. I know that someone else's reputation is just as valuable. So I refuse to stand and be in the gossip about them. I refuse to stand and tell lies about them. I refuse to be a part of that conversation. I want to uplift a person, not tear them down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And now let's go to the 10th commandment.
Do not convey. And like others for themselves, not because they have a stylish clothes or the white haircut. I don't think my own value depends on what I have or what I wear.
Amen, amen. So others may be doing whatever they want to do. But how many times do you see the same thing happening? They just convey someone because, well, they're a celebrity, so I just must hang out with them. Can be have some of the nastiest personalities, may have some weaknesses that you are strong in the area, and God may have you in their life to pour out some of your strength to them. But you're so caught up in the awesomeness of their titles or who the world said that they are, that you're hanging with them only because of their clothing, only because of their status, only because, and none of those are the reasons that God has placed you in their life. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We remind you, we must all take the Ten Commandments seriously, because they are the Ten Commandments of God's love. When we speak of love, Tatiana, where are some of the places, the Bible, let's just start with that. Where can we read about God's love, about love and the word?
1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Hallelujah. Now, is that the only place that we can find God's love?
Love is in the whole entire Bible.
Love is in, because
God is love.
God is love. God is love. And when we're looking at 1 Corinthians 13, do you know where that particular was coming from, that verse, the chapters there was actually, what was that about?
Paul wrote about love to the Corinthians because the Corinthians do not have any love. They're fighting in that town. People are lying and stealing, and there's hate, no love.
No love, no love. Let's just go through quickly in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're just going to read through verses 4 through 7, and we're going to go and just read that real quickly. The verse one says, turn to it, okay? And I'm going to do 4, you do 5. I do 6, and then you do 7, and I think we'll have time to do a couple more, okay? All right. So we're going to be in the New Testament, and I invite you all to turn, and let's just look as we, in our closing tonight, let's just look in the New Testament. Chapter 13. Hallelujah. And then for our new beginners that are actually starting, New Testament, remember it's towards the back of your book. And if you go to the book of Acts and keep going to the right, you hit Romans. After Romans, you'll come into 1 Corinthians. All right. And then again with 1 Corinthians, we're doing starting at chapter 13. And we're going to go start with verse 4. All right, verse 4 reads, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. That's the way it reads in mine. Read verse 4 in yours, Tatiana.
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It is not boast, it is not proud.
Hallelujah. It's not all about what I did, you know what? Love is not envious of someone else getting a job, someone else when they get the new home, someone else when they mark out and they get a new church, when they get members. Love is not all about me. Well, you got a new member. I got five new members. You got a new car. Well, I could have got it. I have two new cars. That's not love. That's not love. We said we was going to switch verses, but because we're reading a little differently, maybe we'll go through that. Let's go. Number five.
It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily argued. It keeps no record of wrong.
Amen. Amen. And no better way than say it. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. Its love does not provoke. Love does not keep its mind thinking on evil things. Verse 6 says, love does not rejoice in iniquities, but it rejoices in the truth. Verse 7 says,
it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always survives.
Hallelujah. Love always, it bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, and it endures all things. Verse 8 says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. But love never fails. Verse 9 says, for I know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see in a mirror, dimly. But then face to face, now I know in part. Then shall I know just as I have also am known. God knows you. And now abide faith. I leave you tonight reminding you of verse 13 says, abide in love. Abide in love. Abide in hope. Faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of all of these is love. Pursue love. Run after love. Chase love. If you're reading your Ten Commandments, start to live by your Ten Commandments. Listen. Get understanding of the commandments. These are your basic instructions before leaving earth. I remind you, there are the Ten Commandments of love. And when you love, you listen. When you listen, you start to live it. And you'll take everything that you've learned and it'll turn it into a wonderful life. You're going to have trials and tribulations. Why not do it and get through them with the most ease that you can? And if you have not taken out the time to invite God into your heart right now, I invite you right now to just repeat after me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I invite you to come live inside of me right now. I know that I am a sinner. And that you gave your son that he may die for me. And I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I thank you for all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. So I accept you. I believe and I confess of my sins. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, congratulations. You have a clean slate with God starting right now. And according to God's word, you are a new creature in Christ. Behold, all things are new. Don't let no one stop you. Don't let them get in your way. You can do it. And you need to tell somebody of your decision to follow Christ. God is waiting for you. He's rejoicing. All heaven is rejoicing with you right now. This is Evangelist Von Dumas signing off, saying God bless you. We love you.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful night.
We love
Until
you.
The next time, good night.
Good night. God bless.
God bless.